Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about what matters most in healthy relationships in this sermon series that we were in, love gifts, what matters most. We talked about true love. We talked about how to develop that kind of love that just gets better and better in a relationship. And a love in a relationship that can last a lifetime. Now, if you missed that message, you can go to our church website, and it's an audio file on there under the heading of the menu of sermons, and you can still hear that message if you would so desire to do that. But today, we want to continue this series about what matters most and talk about understanding each other. Now, women often say, what does a man want in a woman? And you can get many answers if you ask women that question. But if you ask a man, what does a woman, what is she looking for in a man? Men simply shake their head, says, got me. And men often are saying women are too complicated. They say they don't even know what they want, so how would they expect me to know what they want? Now, women are different from men. Duh. We all know that. But did you know that a woman's brain functions different from a man's brain?
Amen.
Men, most notably, are left brain, and women, most notably, are right brain in their thinking, in their processing. In other words, a man decides because in his head it makes sense. In other words, he thinks he is right because of how he's thought it through. Now, a woman decides because in her heart it feels right. She senses from all of that is around her that it is right. Now, those two ways of processing does not mean that one of those is right and the other one is wrong. It doesn't mean that one of those ways is better or the other one is worse. All it means is it's just different. The way men and women process things that they experience. It's different. Now, this difference can enhance a relationship, or it can cause severe conflict. It all depends on how much you understand that difference and how much you tolerate it and put it together. How many of you have ever had your differences, the way you think and what you want, has that ever caused conflict with someone else? Oh yeah, your heads are shaking, yes. You know that. The Bible is very blunt about what causes this, what causes that kind of conflict. The Bible says conflict is caused by selfishness. James 4:1 says, do you not know where your fights and arguments come from? They come from selfish desires that war within you. Conflicts with each other is because of our selfishness. I want what I want. I guess I'm basically a selfish person. I think of me sometimes before I think of anybody else for what I want. And you probably do that too. I want what I want, and you want what you want, and when those competing desires collide, then we have conflict. Every relationship has differences. If you don't know how to deal with it, though, with those differences, if you don't know how to manage those differences, it will kill your relationship. Growing up, you probably learned one of five ways to deal with differences with other people or to deal with conflict you have with other people. And here are those five ways of dealing with conflict. Number one, some of you are my way resolvers. My way means I will fight till I win and until you give in. I'm going to get it my way because I'm totally right. And you are totally wrong. My way is the only way, and I will assert my will until you finally yield and give up. Some of you, that may be the only way you know how to resolve a conflict. You have to win every time when you're in conflict. That's one way. Here's a second way. Others of you are no way people. That is, there's no way you're going to get me into a fight with you over this. I'll back away from all conflict. I'll withdraw. I'll pull back. I'll ignore the problem. My rule is to avoid conflict at all costs. I don't want to fight with you, and I won't fight with you. That keeps a relationship calm. But it never resolves the conflict. It's always there underneath, like a cancer eating away at you. Here's the third way. It's your way. Some of you are your way resolvers. That means I always give in. I always give in to you. I want your approval so badly that I'll roll over and play dead. I won't pay attention to what I want. I'll become a doormat. Underneath, this produces a lot of bitterness because they're always the winner in any conflict. Here's a fourth way. It's the halfway. In other words, that's when we compromise. We win some and we lose some. I give in sometimes and you give in sometimes. It's certainly better than the previous three ways, but the better way is our way. Our way is when we work out differences and we find a solution together with mutual goals in mind. In other words, it's where we care more about the relationship than whatever issue it is that's causing the conflict. We value our differences and our relationship more than the things we tend to fight over. Probably one of those five ways is the way that you have learned to resolve conflict. And some of you may be in pain right now because there's conflict between you and someone else. And you're frustrated. You feel stuck in this conflict, in this relationship, because you've argued about this issue over and over in the relationship. It's been argued over in years. And there's been no resolution. And you don't know what to do. Well, I'm here to tell you what to do. Now, but really, it's not what I'm going to tell you what to do. It's what God says for us to do. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians 14:1, God says this: let love be your greatest aim. Now, that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago when we were talking about true love. Because when you have true love, you let your greatest aim be love. Not status, not selfish interest, not success, not possession, not comfort, not money. God says that the greatest thing that you should have between each other is love. And why? You remember? Because God is love. And God wants us to be like Him. He created you to learn how to love. To learn how to love is to understand that men and women are different. That's how we learn to love. To learn how to love, the Bible teaches us is that love is a choice and love is a commitment. You choose to love or you choose not to love. It is a choice. You can't force somebody to fall in love with you. And you can't force them to stay in love with you. Why? Because love is a choice. Love cannot be forced. This is true in all relationships. God won't force you to love Him. Did you know that? God doesn't force you to love Him. But you can choose to love God. And you can choose to commit yourself to Him. And you can choose to obey Him. And you can choose to do what He says will bring you the abundant life. And it's the same thing with everything else. I choose to love you and I choose to commit myself to you because it's my choice. When people say, I just don't love her. I don't love him anymore. It sounds as if you don't have any choice. But that's not true. You're choosing not to love him or to love her anymore. Love is a choice. And you can choose to love anybody. And you can choose not to love anybody. It's a choice. Now, that's not Hollywood's picture of love. They certainly don't say that's what love is. They would say just the opposite from that. But it is God's way. And God's way is different from man's way. And that's often where we get messed up and get confused, is that we try to do it man's way rather than God's way, and we discover it doesn't work. If I choose to love you, I will not just look at my own viewpoint of life and needs and desires. I won't look at just my situation. But if I love you, I will have to look at your viewpoint. And this is very difficult because it's not natural. It's not natural for me to look at life from the way you see life. It's not natural for me to try to understand how you see life, but it's necessary. This requires an intentional shift from where I have to change the focus from looking at my selfish needs and wants to looking at your needs. It takes God to help me do that. I can't do that on my own. If I try to love myself and my way, it won't work. I'm going to have to do it God's way because He created you and He created me and He created us with this way of loving. It takes God's help. It's a mental shift that we don't do naturally. But it's the secret of understanding the differences and resolving conflict. Men, women want you to prove your love in some tangible way. Love has to be demonstrated in some small way every day. A note on the table saying, I miss you. A smile when you meet after being apart for some time, which says, I'm glad to see you. A flower which says, you're special to me. A night out for dinner to be together. An embrace after being away to reconnect. Did you know that a woman needs to be held and embraced in a non-sexual way 3 times a day in order to feel close to her partner? People need to be touched to survive, to live. There was a study done with children in an orphanage where babies were fed and changed, but they were not touched in any other way. Many of those babies died. There was an orphanage in Mexico where babies were assigned, in another experiment, a mama, someone who not only held them, but they carried them everywhere they went and everything they did. They caressed them and had them close to them. And the babies, rather than dying in the other experiment, they flourished. Humans need to be touched to live. Animals do not. Even though they can be so affectionate and they do something good for us, but their life is not dependent upon that per se. Did you know people will often give attention to pets and not to human beings? A woman needs romantic gifts from a man to prove that they're loved. A gift says to a woman, you are worthwhile. No gifts often communicate the message that they are worthless. Now, that's not necessarily logical. Men have the idea that I'm here, and because I'm here, that should tell you that I love you. Well, it's not logical. A woman needs to have these gifts because it's an emotional thing. It's the right versus left brain understanding. Gift is a demonstration of love. Proving your love always requires extra time, extra money, extra effort, extra energy. It's a way of making her feel special. It's a way of making her feel important. It's a way of making her feel loved. A phone call simply to say, I'm thinking about you. These are emotional needs that women have that often men do not have, even though that some men do, and that's okay. The secret of overcoming conflict is understanding where people are coming from. And if you don't understand this is something that a woman needs and it's a place she's coming from, you probably won't give those things to her, even though they're needed emotionally. When you understand where people are coming from, when you understand male-female differences, you learn how to love them. And how do you learn how to understand them? By listening. Listen more than you talk at times. Listen for what they are experiencing around them in life. It's not easy for men sometimes to just listen to what someone may be saying. It's not easy for me sometimes. My natural ability is to talk about me. Tell me who I am and what I want and what I desire and what I'm experiencing. Some of us get so anxious to make our point and to explain what we're experiencing, to tell our side of what we see and to defend ourselves in conflict, that we don't even stop to listen what the other person is saying or even consider what they're saying about their point of view. But God has wired us differently. We see life differently, men and women. And it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's not a matter of one better than the other or worse than the other. It's a matter simply of perspective, of understanding, of seeing it from the standing in the shoes of the other person. Love is more than attraction. Hollywood would probably say that's not true, but God would say that's true. Love is more than arousal. It's more than sentimentality. Love is an action. It's something you do. Love is a behavior. Love can cause emotion. In fact, it causes the strongest emotion in human beings. But love is not just emotion. In the first place, in the Bible, over and over, we are commanded by God to love each other. And you cannot command an emotion. If I told you right now, okay, everybody in this room, I want you to be sad. You just can't be sad on cue. I don't know, you might fake it. You might put on some kind of sour-looking face and act as if you're sad, but that wouldn't mean that you were. If I told everybody in this room to be happy, you can't just be happy. You just can't command an emotion. Emotions are uncontrollable. If love were just an emotion, then God couldn't have commanded for you to love one another. But love is something you do. It produces emotion, but basically it's an action. In fact, the Bible says this in 1 John 3:18. It said, let us love not with words or tongue, meaning, in other words, don't just talk about the fact that you love people. But John 3 says, but do it with action. And do it in truth. You know, we can talk a good talk about saying, I love people. I'm a Christian. God is love and created me in love and I love other people. And we can talk a good talk. But do we really love them? Let's see how you act toward them. That might show more of the love you have for people than what you say. It's like the girlfriend who said of her boyfriend, she said, he's always saying, honey, I'll die for you. And then she goes on, she says, you always say that, but you never do. Love is something you do. Let me say a couple of things about love. About what you do, about love in action. Actually, acting in love when you don't feel it is the highest form of love. It's actually a more mature love when you act loving toward a person when they're not responding to you or when you don't even feel the emotion about it yourself. It's easy to love somebody who loves you. That's what the scripture was telling us. You remember in Matthew where it says, what does it mean to love someone who loves you? Well, even the pagans do that. We find that it's easy to love somebody who loves you. That's nothing. It takes very little effort on our part. But real love acts and does the loving thing when a person doesn't deserve it, when they don't respond, when you don't feel like it. Women want men to prove their love by verbalizing it every day. A woman wants to be noticed and complimented. Men, we are often oblivious to this. Again, we have the feeling that if we said we loved you once, years ago, you ought to know we're still here, so we still love you. Without understanding that that's okay for us, that's our perspective, but not from theirs. Noticing a woman makes her feel loved. It makes her feel if she matters. She needs to be complimented every day about something, how she looks, about what she does, or about who she is. We need to learn to compliment each other every day. To give love and to be love is the most precious gift life has to offer. God loves you. That is a precious gift. And if you understand me, you will show me that I'm loved. Because I need that. You need that. You have to make a conscious decision to love someone that makes that person feel good. It may not be important to you to do that. It may even be difficult for you to do that toward another person, but the person in your life needs to hear the words, "I love you." And if such a simple requirement is denied, then they think, "Do I really want to spend the rest of my life with someone who makes me feel so empty?" So, what do we do? Well, we put our love in action. We write love letters, simple notes to tell a person how much they mean to us. We praise them in front of someone else, saying something like how lucky we are to have them. We prove our love with something tangible, even sacrificial. When apart, we call once a day and say simply, "I love you." I don't know about you, but I want to be more loving. I personally want to be a more loving person. And there's a lot of areas that I need to work on in my life to be that kind of person. But one day, I'm going to stand before God and He's going to say to me, "Did you do the two things that were most important of all in your life? Did you love me with all your heart? And did you learn to love other people?" And I want to be able to say, "I listened. I listened to your teaching, Lord. And I learned. I learned to have it your way." Don't you want it that way too? Would you pray with me? Loving God, we want to understand each other. And in that understanding, we want to be like you. We want to love one another. And by loving one another, we want to tell them. We want to show it. And we want to be loving. So God, we just pray that As we come to this point of our worship, we want to worship you in spirit and truth. We want to say, Lord, maybe I've not been as loving as I should have been, but I don't want it to stay that way. I want to learn how to be more loving. I want to give love to one another. So, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word that teaches me to not only love those who love me, but to love those even who are hard to love and to show them love. I want to do it your way, Lord. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to commit my life again anew today. And I'm going to have it your own way, Lord. Thank you as I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.